Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me in your Bibles, first of all, to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Fact is, probably most of these are going to be very familiar, but that's there's nothing wrong with familiarity in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading with verse number 16. Now, what we want to look at this morning is the voice of God. And the intent is for us to understand that God speaks, not God spoke. It's real easy, and that's what we have in these first couple of verses, that we isolate God's communication to His written word and His living word, His Son. And so we'll read these two passages together and then expand on it from that. But like I said, the desire is that we understand that, you know, sometimes we get the idea that, okay, yeah, God speaks today. He speaks through His Word, and as we study the Word, the Spirit conveys to us truth, and that is true. But God, who began speaking, except for 400 years, has continued to speak. And so that's what we want to kind of look at this morning for just a little time that we have together. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then over just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning our reading with verse number 1. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, the King James says, by His Son. I don't know what some of your translations have in it, but the idea here is He has spoken unto us in Son. And that is that the Son was the expression of the Word of God. Fact is, when we turn to John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hath spoken unto us in Son, or by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholdeth all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That One section is what we were all about in our first meeting this morning. Remembering that time when He purged our sins. And so we have the revelation of God as it was given. 66 books that are contained in our Bible. Written by a number of writers. And it says that it was given by inspiration of God, or it was God breathed. But we have then in this second passage that we've just read here in Hebrews that God spoke. So not only did God give His word to others, but God has spoken, and expressly, not only in His written word, but in the person of His Son. With this in mind, we want this morning to consider the scripture records of God speaking through His world, through His word, through His spirit, through His Son, and also through His voice. Now, before I go any further, I want to very quickly say that anything or any idea that comes out of what we are saying this morning, I want it to be understood that we are not talking here about divine revelation that supersedes the Word of God. You can go to any religious bookstore, and you're going to find books there by people who profess that they have gotten a special revelation from God. And almost without exceptions, those revelations that they claim that they have received are opposed to the things that are written in the scriptures that we have before us this morning. Someone has well said that anything new in religion should be opposed because it cannot be true. Because all that God has for us is given in this book. But there is more involved in this communication, in this voice of God that we want to look at this morning. I mentioned, first of all, His world. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, beginning our reading with verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle in the sun. Now over to Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans chapter 1. A passage that ties in with Psalm, and we'll read it before we begin to our comments with regard to these things. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God hath showed it unto them, that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The voice of God in his world, that which he has made, declares him. There are those, of course, who scoff at the truth. But I would submit the hand of man can be seen clearly by that which happens if you or I try to unfold the flower. Not even going to get into the magnificence and the structure and everything that how everything is just right. You know, earth is where it is because it's just right. It can support life only because God put the necessary things here that would happen. But he says they are clearly seen. If you allow a rose to unfold, it is a beautiful thing, and roses, as wonderful as they are not the most magnificent of the floral sphere of creation. But you can't take a rosebud and unfold it and get what you have when it unfolds on its own. You destroy it. Something as magnificent as a sunflower that opens, and then tracks the sun all during the day. The head of it being pointed always toward the full ray of the sun. But it says in this second passage that not only do we see power, not only do we see an infinite amount of knowledge and a magnificent amount of handiwork. But it says, these things all speak to two things. He has eternal power and Godhead. That He is supreme. That He is above all. And notice, we see that this is to the extent that they are without excuse. They're without excuse. So magnificent is God's voice in creation. Turn with me next to Psalm 119, and actually Justin quoted this morning in our opening. We have the voice of God in His Word. Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We have in His Word the truth that we need to guard and to guide us. We see that truth is so magnificent and so glorious because of the message that it portrays. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, we have recorded for us Philip's ministry to the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip the evangelist was having a great revival. And many were being saved. But he was told to go to an appointed place. And as he arrived at his destination, along came the Ethiopian eunuch, who was reading from the scriptures the prophet Isaiah. And Philip says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he says, "How can I unless some man show me?" And here is the beauty of the Word of God and the focus of what it's all about. He, from Isaiah 53, Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The voice of God and his word. And then over a few pages to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Beginning our reading with verse number 8. Romans 10 and 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Word of God reveals the one who can save. Thou shall be saved. What a terrific voice we have of God through his word. But then, as we've already noted this morning, we have God speaking unto us in or through his Son. Of course, we can take the next several months going through the accounts of the Son speaking, but just a few verses in passing. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 39. Mark 4 and 39. Jesus and his disciples in the midst of the storm there upon the Sea of Galilee. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. The Son of God can speak peace to your soul, just like he calmed the sea and the winds. Matthew 11. Another occasion when Jesus is speaking. Matthew 11, 28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Calm, rest, and salvation. John 19, verse 30 said, Jesus, therefore, having received the vinegar, said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The work of redemption had been accomplished. And now a work lay before the disciples and all who through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have become part of the body of Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Speaks unto us through His Word. John chapter 16. He speaks unto us through His Spirit. John 16. Beginning our reading with verse number 8. John 16, verse number 8. Jesus speaking concerning the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He heareth, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for ye shall receive of mine, and shall show them unto you. All things that the Father hath given me, therefore said I, He shall take of mine, and shall show them unto you. The Spirit as a minister of the voice of God. But now we want to turn our attention to another aspect of the voice of God, and that is His speaking voice. Genesis 1 and 2 record the voice of God speaking as He brought about creation. And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, and God said, and God said. And it was so. And God saw, and it was very good. But now we move to the consideration of some passages that record questions which God asked, not because He didn't know the answer, but because He wanted the person to come face to face with the answer. Genesis 3 and verse 9. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" He asked the question, not because He didn't know where Adam was, but He wanted to confront Adam with the truth that Adam knew where Adam was. The verses that follow speak concerning the fact that he said, "Well, I was naked and I hid myself." And the truth comes out then that Adam had disobeyed God. He had not followed His instruction concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He had ate of it. Innocence was lost. His place in the garden was then lost. But more important than that, the relationship that he had enjoyed with God had been lost. How gracious and loving of God to replace those fig leaf aprons with which Adam and Eve had clothed themselves, with the skins of animals. The shedding of the first blood. But not only did He clothe them with the skins of animals, He gave a promise that there was one who was going to come, who would not be born with Adam's DNA, that is, He was not going to have Adam's sin nature. It says there's going to be one that's born the seed of the woman, and in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have
the Son coming into the world to become flesh, that he might fulfill that which was spoken, that promise that was given here in Genesis chapter 3. But the question, where art thou? A number of other questions are posed. For instance, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, Moses, being a reluctant spokesman for God to go back to Egypt, to leave Midian and go back to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh, and he says, you know, I'm a bumbling idiot. I can't speak. God asked the question, who made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? You know, let's get in line with this, Adam, or with Moses. I made your mouth. I can help you speak. I can give you the words. And it's interesting, you know, God says, okay, Adam, or I'm sorry, okay, Moses, you know, if you really feel that strongly about it, I'll give you your brother Aaron to go with you and be the spokesman. But yet, what do we read throughout the whole of the account of the interaction between Pharaoh? It was Moses that was speaking, wasn't it? Moses had come to understand who made God's mouth. First Kings 19, verse 9, records an incident. The prophet of God had just gotten a great victory. But when threatened by Jezebel, Elijah had fled to the wilderness. He ran until he was exhausted. He sat down under a juniper tree and asked that he might die. God comes to him and he says, what dost thou hear? Well, he rehearsed to him his side of the, or his perspective on the situation. He said, you know, there's nobody left and they're seeking my life to take it. God revealed unto him the true perspective. He says, Elijah said, I've got 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And then he fed him, strengthened him, and he went on. Job 38, verse 4, records a conversation between God and Job. As Job is trying to lay things out as far as he is concerned about his plight and how he knew all things that were taking place, and God simply says, where were you while I had laid the foundation of the world? Acts chapter 9, verse 3, through 6, we have the record of Saul of Tarsus as he was headed to Damascus to imprison the Christians gathered there. And the voice comes from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" We have the voice of God speaking to these, as is recorded in His Word. And God continues to speak. Perhaps He is asking some of us some of these questions. You know, "What doest thou here? Who made man's voice? Who made man's mouth?" Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as our time is getting away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to see the focus or the import of this speaking voice of God. At our time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Reading verse number 20. "And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Who is the voice of God today? Who is the voice of God today? According to this verse, we are. We have that responsibility. You know, how often has there been an opportunity to speak a word of witness? And I've missed it. Maybe because I was too ashamed, too nervous. God says, "Who made man's mouth? Sometimes we might make a choice of relocating. Many have done this. And they find themselves in a place where there is little or no Christian fellowship. "What doest thou here?" God has always spoken. He is still speaking. May He give us the heart like Samuel. You recall the story. Samuel was a true gift of God to his mother who was childless. And she said, if you'll give me a child, I'll lend him back to you all the days of his life. So, when the time come, she took him to the temple. To serve Samuel, or to serve Eli, who was at that time the spokesman for God. And as the lad is laying there, he hears a voice. Samuel! Samuel! He immediately gets up and hastens to go to Eli. Says, what can I do for you? And Eli says, I didn't call. This is repeated a few times. And then Eli perceives what is taking place. And Eli says to Samuel, says, go lie down. And the next time you hear the voice, these are the words that you're to say. Speak, Lord. Thy servant here. May that be our desire, that we might hear the voice, not to puff us up, not to give us any type of superiority, but that we might hear that voice so that we might be those mouthpieces in Christ's stead. To call others to be reconciled to God. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Our gracious Father, we give you thanks this morning for the privilege we've had to consider your voice. We give you thanks that you did speak to those of old who wrote down for us the scriptures that we so greatly treasure. We thank you for sending your Son, the very expression, this one who is called the Word. And in him we learn just how greatly you love us. For we read concerning him that he is the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And it is our desire this morning, O Father, that we might be led by your voice, that we might be used of you for that little time that's left before the coming of your Son. He spoke while He was here upon the earth. Work well in this day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We know that there are still those who are yet to be brought in the fold of safety, to be redeemed by the precious blood of your glorious Son, through belief in His name. And it is our desire to speak for you that which you have spoken to us. We commit ourselves to you now and give you praise for your goodness through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.